the stranger's touch, the walker registers her own skin, cod cold beneath the damp sleeve of her ripped shirt. She shivers softly as Jean's fingers close around her wrist. We can't have you wandering around like this, can we? Jean scans the walker's face for any sign of injury, but apparently finds none, despite the scarlet crisscrossing her ashen cheeks. The clot stubbornly lodged in the fine hairs just above her temple, the splash of something on her left shoe, which makes Jean glance down, self-consciously, at her own. Been in the wars too, haven't we, hmm? Jean punctuates her words with a reassuring smile as she steers the walker around at the front of the car, pausing only once to shoot a warning glance at Billy, who is sitting in his car seat, wide-eyed with excitement. Silently, she implores her son to hold his tongue. Then, carefully, she helps the stranger climb into the front passenger seat of the Fiesta. After helping her with her seatbelt, Jean walks around to the driver's door. You're in luck, you know, she says lightly, as she carefully executes a perfect U-turn. The nearest A&E is only a few miles from here. It won't take long. And you... Shooting a glance in the rearview mirror, Jean catches her son's eye. You have the perfect excuse to be late for school. Yay! The boy cries, happily drumming his heels on the back of his mother's seat. A real-life emergency! If only we had a siren! With her eyes fixed on the icy road, Jean reaches forward and twiddles a knob on the dashboard. A sudden burst of rap music makes the other woman flinch. The volume drops as the dial is hastily retuned. As the car pulls away, the stranger's body softens. Three pips sound and the local DJ starts reading the headlines. Fragments of news from the real world herald the beginnings of a subtle thaw. Stories about falling oil prices, the refugee crisis, the Scottish government's concern about Britain leaving the EU, a boy missing in Kent. Midway through the details, the driver taps the dashboard and the radio falls silent. The fog is thinning. A T-junction has appeared by the dry stone wall now looming ahead, where they will turn left onto the B road to the nearest town. The road is clear, apart from pocks of ice and clumps of frozen earth, but the stranger sees none of this, because her eyes are closed. Jean risks a cautious sideways glance at the passenger beside her, her gaze drawn by something shiny in the woman's hand. It is a chain, stubbornly gripped between her frayed fingers, and from it hangs a silver charm in the shape of a tiny piano. Chapter 2. Kensington, September 1974.
Over there, Dad. On the left. There's a white Fiesta about to pull out, cries Alma.
Infuriated as she always is by the slowness of her father's reactions, she leans forward to poke her head between the two front seats, then jabs an urgent finger at the gap in the parked cars a short distance ahead.
White Fiesta,
mutters the Reverend Dean. A pearl of sweat causes the contour of his cheek before dispersing into his salt-and-pepper beard. Adjusting his black-framed spectacles, he peers once more along the closely parked cars along either side of the street.
Where?
Beneath the sycamore, Gordon, sighs Alma's mother, Angela.
Do get a move on, dear, or someone else will get it.
The car nudges forwards into the empty space. Sinking back into her seat, Alma watches her father's hands clench the steering wheel so tightly the white leather of his driving gloves shines taut. She scowls. It has been a tiresome drive into London, far slower than any of them expected, with many ill-tempered drivers stubbornly refusing to give way. She could just as easily have carried a couple of cases up by train, and would have preferred to, only he wouldn't hear of it. Doing the right thing matters most. And if Reverend Dean's only daughter had travelled alone, what might other people think? So they drove. But the closer they got, the slower they progressed, and her father's mood began to sour. The obvious explanation was bad traffic and the late summer heat. But there was another. His daughter knew. Because for all...